Good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. That's BBM, Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the country thanks to NERS, National Radio Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. And very happy NAIDOC to you all. We're going to catch up a yarn there with Aunty Rhonda Collard-Spratt and talk about her new book she's written, a third book, Bobtail's Friend, on the line. Aunty Rhonda, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. How are you and everybody listening?
Thank you, darling. I'm well. And look, happy NAIDOC. And before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Auntie.
Yeah, well, I was born in Carnarvon. So even though that's not my traditional grounds, it's still my childhood country and my spirit country.
Yes.
And my heart country.
Mm.
But I identify as Yamaji.
Yamaji.
Of the Wadjuri Nations, Desert People, and also I'm connected to two Yamaji mobs, the Lunda people at the mouth of the Murchison River.
Beautiful.
On saltwater desert.
Beautiful.
And then I'm Noongar as well from the southwest.
Mm.
So that's how I strongly identify.
Too deadly, Auntie. And author, third book, Bobtail's Friend. So tell us about this book, a children's book, and tell us about, well, its effects of bullying and working towards reconciliation. So tell us the story there, Auntie.
Well, I was inspired by my grannies, my two granddaughters being bullied at school, being Aboriginal.
Yes.
And it really is hard. It still is the spirit and soul, you know. So I said to Jackie, our next dreaming story has to be around bullying.
Mm.
So we use the bobtail because the bobtail gets bullied. I think in every other state it's called the blue tongue, but in WA it's the bobtail. And because her tongue is blue, she gets bullied.
Mm.
All the other bush animals have pink tongues and
yeah.
She gets made fun of and by the beautiful, pretty butterflies who are beautiful on the outside but inside their hearts and spirit.
So blue tongue, everyone had pink tongues, and so there it is, colour making a difference and a target, you could say.
Of course. So it's teaching our kids that to be inclusive.
Yes.
Remember that your words can hurt somebody for a lifetime, but it's also for everybody.
Exactly.
You're a child, a teenager, a youth, whether you're in your... Whether you're an old age person or an elder, the story is across the board for all cultures.
Yes.
To be accepting and inclusive to people, you know, and to stand up against bullying if you see somebody's being bullied, to support that person.
Exactly. And a big shout out to your co-author there, our non-Indigenous sister, Jackie Furrow. She was a part of the journey, was she not?
Hello, yes. I've been privileged enough to walk alongside Auntie Rhonda as we create these beautiful stories.
Lovely. So, Jackie, how did you first come across Auntie Rhonda?
Oh, we met at a community centre at Ipswich. I was working as a community worker there, running an Aboriginal arts project, and we employed some Aboriginal elders as mentors. And Auntie Rhonda was a participant.
Yes.
And she came into the office one day and told me about the time when she first met her mother.
Mm.
She was 12 years old and she only met her mother, Alice, for 5 minutes.
Sad.
And it was really moving.
Yes.
And the other Aboriginal elder there turned around and said, oh, someone should write this down. Jackie, you should write it.
Yeah, there you go. It was meant to be. It was meant to be.
And because of Auntie Rhonda, I became a writer.
Yeah, thank you.
That's how it all started. Well, now, 10 years later, we're still writing.
Oh, that's beautiful. And this is the third book, is that right, Jackie?
So we wrote our Auntie Rhonda's life story first.
Okay.
And then in 2020, because Auntie Rhonda was so high risk, being Aboriginal and an elder, she was isolated in the pandemic, and
yes.
So we wrote decided to write some children's dreaming stories.
Good.
And the first dreaming story, Grandfather Emu and How the Kangaroo Got Her Pouch,
mm-hmm.
came out last year.
Okay.
And so this NAIDOC week we have book two in that children's book series, Bobtail's Friends.
Oh, beautiful.
Week.
Yes.
I'll pass you back to Arnie.
Thank you. Thank you, Jackie.
Jackie. Dragon Tribe will mean change.
Yeah, no, too deadly. And look, as it was meant to be. It was meant to be that you and Jackie met, and here you are now, co-authors, business partners, and sisters for life.
Yes, that's so true, you know, and she's taken me into the white space, which I...
And you're taking her in the black space.
The white colour space.
That's too beautiful.
And she's come into my black world.
Yeah, so that's lovely.
It's enriched our lives, you know.
Yes, well, these books so have become a bridge.
Yes, we can experience new things by walking in different people's worlds.
Exactly. Yes. So, Bobtail's Friend, your children's book there, Effects of Bullying and Working Towards Reconciliation, that's in the bookstores now. Where do we find it?
Yes, and you can go to our website, spiritofthedreaming.com.
Spiritofthedreaming.com, yes?
Yes.
Lovely. And they can buy it, purchase it from there.
Yes.
Yeah, fantastic.
And we also have an audio book that I'm telling the story. We've got sound effects, and I'm reading the lingo at the back of glossary.
Yes.
And say the words properly, because growing up, we weren't allowed to speak our language. We
exactly.
were melted and had our mouths scrubbed.
Exactly.
We told it was rubbish, so it's an honour to be able to bring this language.
Yep.
And put it in a modern form in a book, because a child likes to tell stories in the sand with a stick.
No, it's been so beautiful. Yeah, that's right. Now it's a fantastic business opportunity, sharing our culture and our stories, you know, and we're getting in trouble, you know, our elders were getting in trouble for speaking it and talking it, and here we are now writing it and making movies out of it. Exactly. Darling, a good yarn, and I thank you very much for sharing, honey, Rhonda. All the best to you and Sister Jackie.
And we have a song in it too, because I'm a singer-songwriter, and every book will have a song in it.
Oh, beautiful. A song that goes with the book. Beautiful.
Yep.
Entrepreneur, businesswoman you are. Too deadly. Big shout out there, and happy NAIDOC.
Thank you. Thank you. All the best to all our deadly mob out there. Stay strong and stay black.
Yeah, too deadly. Thank you, honey. Love you. Bye-bye.
Yeah.
Deadly yarn there. That's Annie Rhonda Collard Spratt, author, and Yarni with her co-author there. That's Jackie Furrow, and non-Indigenous sister there, Jackie. And they were meant to be in regard to how they met at a community hall, and Annie Rhonda telling her story, and they said you should write a book about it. Jackie, there you go. Write her book. And there it is. It was meant to be. Have you seen Yarn Up Strong here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416. Happy NAIDOC, you mob. Too deadly. Yarning Up Strong here. And don't forget that deadly theme. Get up, stand up, show up. Woo!
Coming out of the water. This time for boy, while the wind is a blowing, get that inside information. Hope for the future now, and then we will sing and dance under the night sun forever and ever, day by day. Over there in the distance.
you. Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? When I'm in your warm embrace, I feel a part of the human race. Oh, is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? You get under my skin, take off your jewelry and let me in. Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? Baby, is you my baby? Is you? Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? You wipe me off my face. Let's multiply the Aboriginal race. Oh, is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you my baby? Is you? Is you my baby? Is you my baby?
I went down by the river and folks. Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it.
Yes, a very good morning, your daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trinity Trev Murray from the Curry, live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumba Rip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Have your saying, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. The Australian National Museum, Maritime Museum, unveiled a major new exhibition, Shaped by the Sea. And as an island nation, Australia has a unique relation with the oceans that surround us. And over tens of thousands of years, the sea and the inland waters have shaped this continent and sustained the many peoples who have lived here. And so, look, a fantastic exhibition is. And working with science, marine biologists, whatever you, and with the professors of the land, you could say the First Nation people. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Matt Pohl. He's a manager of Indigenous programs in regard to this space. On the line, Matt, good morning. How are you?
Murray Bajari. Good morning in the Gadigal language from Sydney, where I'm speaking from today.
Beautiful. Thank you very much. Before we start, who your mob were you from, Matt?
Torres Strait and Loyalty Islands in the South Pacific.
All right, beautiful. Fantastic, this new exhibition, Shaped by the Sea. And when you're talking about First Nation people and a relationship to the sea, well, we're talking 60,000 years, we are professors in our own rights. So to have science and marine biologists, what have you, liaising with and communicating with our First Nation people, they come to the table as students, I would think.
Oh, exactly. I mean, that's the real, what sets the Maritime Museum apart. We work with coastal knowledges, you know, knowledges of the sea, and it's not just watercraft. You know, there's knowledges relating to migration patterns of like whales, for example, fishing technologies, but also the weather phenomena. So it's a challenge, but it's also an alternate entry point into all these incredible, vast knowledges that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people have connected to our waterways and our seas.
So regarding the exhibition, Shaped by the Sea, how long is that operating for?
This is a new permanent exhibition, so it should be up for the next 5-10 years.
Okay, we
do plan on adapting and changing it as we develop new projects with community members right around the country, though, too.
And so the exhibition, as I said, having both black and white at the table, it's good ingredients in regard to the scientific side of things, but also the cultural side of things as well.
Well, that's what we know. You know, there's at least 22 knowledges, I guess you could say, right around the country where through performance, through oral history, through song, Aboriginal nations have preserved what are essentially scientific knowledges of things like sea level rise, of ancient coastlines. We have represented, for example, in the Murujuga community in Western Australia, the recent find of around some stone tool artifacts that were found nearly a kilometre out to sea. These items were 7,000 years old. I mean, one of the messages we really wanted to get across to our school students in particular was the way that the shape of the Australian continent as we know it today was incredibly different as, you know, over tens of thousands of years, and as people made these great intergenerational migrations across the country, the landscape was so different. You know, even when you look at the deep time, we find fossils of seashells in the Simpson Desert, you know, and being able to try and just visualize, the scientists keep finding all these discoveries, and then we sort of, when we look at the knowledge custodians from different countries, they've been telling us that all along.
Exactly.
It's not one cancelling out the other. It's really an example of how amazing Aboriginal knowledge preservation is and how it exists all around the country.
Well, the new exhibition, Shaped by the Sea, is what I'm sort of visualising. It's a chapter in a big encyclopedia book, so to speak, and we're just turning the pages in regarding the education and the stories that lay within the book, yeah?
Yeah, like you said before, I mean, we have teachers and knowledge holders and professors in all of our communities, and I think it's the job of museums and universities and places like that to actually recognise the protocols of that knowledge that people have in communities. You know, it's not like the old days where people were going and extracting all these knowledge from different communities. and then publishing it without even, you know, giving credit to the people whose knowledge it was.
Mm.
These days, the most ethical way is to give voice to that interpretive layer of knowledge to the true custodians, which there's thousands of people across the community who all have this amazing, you know, amazing responsibility to preserve knowledge and share it amongst future generations.
So, Matt, with the Shaped by the Sea, the exhibition, and we talk about Australia being a big island, there would have been communication with First Nation people, well, across the big island in regard to the different tribal people and their stories and how they operated with the sea, yes?
Oh, for sure. I mean, I think that's a basic sort of way of reading it. You know, all our lives are shaped by the sea. You know, we were really lucky to work with the Yidinji dancers, for example, Maringi Four Mile.
Who
we worked with for a couple of days, who showed us this incredible performance, which is on display in the museum over five video screens.
Mm.
And it's basically knowledge of sea level rise in the Great Barrier Reef. But it was preserved over many, many generations through story and through this interpretive performance that they have very generously allowed us to represent to our international audiences in Sydney.
And look, we are storytellers and we use all the necessary medium as such, dance and song and art and, artwork. It's fantastic and we are students for life and we share our culture and continue to do so, do we not?
Oh, for sure. I mean, we're busy with our NAIDOC work stuff down here in Sydney, but I'm very disappointed not to be up at CIAP this year at the Cairns Indigenous Art Fair, because when you get so many art centres all in the same room and watching artists, you know, teach and learn from each other, that's almost like an example of the way the university should be operating these days. And
exactly, brother.
How people coming together, teaching each other, sharing, and just building a better future for everyone.
Yeah, Matt, so thank you very much. And mentioned NAIDOC, happy NAIDOC to you, my brother, and thank you very much for sharing. So the exhibition, Australian National Maritime Museum, it's up and operating and shaped by the sea. A lot of stories to be told, so very educational, very spiritual and very cultural. And thank you for sharing, Matt, and all the best to your mob. Stay warm, brother, and we'll talk soon, eh?
I will, and stay dry. Thank you so much for inviting me on your show.
Take care, Matt. Bye-bye.
Bye.
There, Matt Poley's name is Manager of Indigenous Program, and we're talking about the exhibition Shaped by the Sea and a beautiful conversation with First Nation people around the Big Island about the ocean and the sea and a relationship that we as First Nation people have with that. We're talking 60,000 years, and scientists are at the table as well, marine biologists, and they're all there as students, you could say. Have your say in Yarnup Strong, end of the conversation here. National Talk Black, Delhi number 1-800-422-416.
Welcome in my heart.
Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on our National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7. I remember the day.
I love you now. Like I loved you then. Oh, yeah, I know I haven't always been there, but I need you to know that I've always cared.
Let's take your time with Uncle Archie Roach here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say in Yana from daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Call that number, Yana, with yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, live on First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dindji country as BBM Bumrabrib Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have your say in Yana Strong, your mob, too deadly. All right, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Uncle Roger Jarrett, and he's a board member of KBHAC, and that is the Kinchilla Boys Home Aboriginal Corporation, and talk about the film We Were Just Little Boys in Kinchilla Boys Home. Survivors share stories of resilience in new film. On the line, Uncle Roger, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you very much for coming to the program, Uncle Rod. Roger, before we start, let the mob know who your mob, where you're from, Uncle.
My name's Roger Jarrett, number 12, Kinchilla Boy. I'm from the Goombang Year mob down the north coast of New South Wales.
Yeah, beautiful footprint. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Look, we have a film that's out. We Were Just Little Boys. And I'm thinking, well, looking at your statement here, the more we talk, the stronger we get. And it's only through talking that our pain will end with us, and our children and grandchildren will not be filled with hate. Look, it's a very a sensitive time into what happened and how you were treated. And the stories, the truth need to be told. And you're using film to do that, Uncle Roger.
It's definitely right, yes. Yep, definitely. We're getting out, telling the kids the truth, what happened to us, you know what I mean. But as you said, it was very traumatising, but, you know, like we're getting on top of it now because we're adults and we've realised different things as you grow up. So,
Exactly. Yeah. And the so-called boys' home, does that building still stand? Where are we at with that, Uncle Roger?
Well, it's a boys'. I wouldn't call it a home.
Yes.
Dormitories. A hell of a place. Still standing. Yes, it's still standing. And we're trying to get it back. It was handed back to the Land Council of the Dungaddy people of Kempsey. And we're still trying to get it back to go in there and you know, do some stuff with the boys. I'm a resilient floor layer.
Yes.
I want to teach young blokes how to do vinyl and everything like that. So, yeah.
So you want to use it as a space to do culture, tell stories, and empower your young brothers and sisters. Yeah, young mob.
Definitely for sure.
So we build a beautiful future on the foundation of pain, you could say.
That's exactly right. That's exactly why I want to go back in there and, you know, I mean, completely ease our pain of what we've been through in there. If we get it back and we own it, you know what I mean?
Exactly. We do what you want with it. And wash away the evilness, you could say.
That's exactly right. That's the whole idea.
Yeah. Let's talk about the film, Uncle. So the film is out and about now, yep?
Yep, it is, yes.
And were you part of the storytelling in that film?
In the film, yes.
Yep.
Yep, definitely.
So tell us how that all came about, Uncle. And was a KBHAC was a part of organising this film? Do you want to make a film, or did someone, a producer, contact you? Or paint that picture, please, Uncle.
No, we talked about, you know, letting the people know of the truth, what happened to us.
Yes.
So, you know, we put it up, and they run from there on, and suggested this and that and that, and we went with what they suggested, and you know, got the film part going. Yeah, definitely.
Well, we've got the co-producer of the film, Dr. Tiffany McComsey. It's got written here.
That's correct. Yes.
So, Dr. Tiffany was a part of the the producing of the film and telling the true story as it stands. Yes,
that's exactly right. She's our CEO.
Okay, beautiful.
Yeah, we tell her what we want done because I'm on the board, so we just direct her to. Do stuff, and she's really good at what she does.
Yeah. All right, and so it's a finished product now. The film's out and about, and is it a documentary or is it a storyteller? Is there acting involved? Paint that picture, please.
No, not too much. It's like what they call it,
buddy,
animation.
Okay, animation. All right.
Yeah, because, you know, like, I'm 75.
Yes.
And this was put on when we were little kids. And we're still boys, brothers, you know what I mean, within our age group. But as I said, I'm 75, and the other boys' ages, out of 600 brothers that went in, there's only 62 of us left.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And, are you all in touch? Are they all from the Kempsey area, Uncle? Or?
No, from all over
Australia. All over Australia.
About a white policy, as you know, to take Aboriginal kids away and turn them into white.
Yes.
That's what they try to do to us.
Yes, Uncle. I'm feeling your pain there. Uncle, are we in touch? Are we in touch with the other uncles?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, we are in touch.
Are they forthcoming for the yarns?
Sorry?
Are they forthcoming in regard to yarns and how they were treated?
Oh, some of them are.
Yep.
Some of them can get out and talk. And others, you know what I mean, just can't talk. The trauma that they've been through, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
The state of, I don't know, nervousness or whatever it is they call. Yep, yep.
Uncle, do we know how we how people can see the film? Is it through NITV, or how do we see it? Is it on YouTube or Netflix?
It's going to be put on YouTube, yes.
Okay, rightio.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Okay, well, thank you very much for sharing. And like I said, a very emotional time. And but, like, Australia's got a history, good or bad, black or white, and the history needs to be told. And the Kinchilla boys' home is no different. It needs to be told. We were just little boys.
Yeah. As I said, you know what I mean, Aboriginal history is Australian history.
Yes.
And it's just got to be put out there, and simple as that, because a lot of white people, because of the government thing, they didn't want them to know, so they didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah, and so now they're starting to become to know what's going on. And a lot of them are fairly appalled of what happened.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think they feel a little bit ashamed because, you know, they were kept in the dark type of thing through government policies.
Yes.
So now we're starting to get out there, and we also, there's a World Heritage listing we'll put in.
Yes.
We're in that now, and they're trying to help us get Kinchilla back. Because the service is listed, Kinchilla.
Yes.
Well, we just want to get back and teach the young ones, you know what I mean, a bit of culture.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, something positive.
And this film is a powerful tool to do that, to tell the truth, and the story is there. Uncle Roger, thank you very much for sharing. Listen, all the best to you. You stay strong, stay black, stay deadly, and we'll be in touch, eh?
Thank you very much. Have a good day.
You too, Uncle. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Deadly Yarn there. That's Uncle Roger Jarrett. He's a board member of KBHAC, and that's the Conchilla Boys Home Original Aboriginal Corporation, KBHAC, and among Australia's most notorious stolen generations institutions. Conchilla Boys Home, KBH, saw an estimated 400 to 600 Aboriginal children exposed to routine acts and of cultural genocide between 1924 to 1970. And some of them uncles are still with us and look very sad, but the truth be told, and using the medium as the film as the medium to deliver that story. So keep your eyes and ears open. We Were Just Little Boys is the name of that film. And that also amplifies this year's NAIDOC's theme, Get Up, Stand Up, Show Up. Here on your daily program, National Talk Black, come to time with Trinity Trev, Murray from the Curry sign-off here. For the local mob here in Cairns, we've got the Cairns show happening as of tomorrow, Wednesday right through to Friday. Friday being a public holiday. But there's a media statement, be COVID-19 safe during the show. Far North Queensland have been urged to be vigilant against COVID-19 as cases start to climb during the region's peak tourist season. With the Cairns show starting tomorrow, the Cairns and Hinterland Hospital and Health Service is reminding showgoers to be COVID safe, especially those over the age of 65 who are most at risk from serious illness as a result of COVID-19 infections. CHHS Acting Chief Executive Dr. Jeremy Walwood said reported COVID-19 cases had almost doubled in the past 2 weeks. And Kevin, this is quite a concern because we are currently in our peak tourist season up here in Cairns, Far North Queensland, with potential for the virus to spread rapidly and widely with large seasonal numbers of visitors in our region, particularly at large gatherings such as agriculture shows, festivals, concerts and markets. He said the health service was managing the current rise, COVID-19 cases, due to the ongoing hard work of staff and the commitment of community members in getting vaccinated against the virus. We've had 1,202 COVID-19 cases reported in our region in the past 6 days. As of Monday, we have 19 people being treated in our hospitals and 49 being treated via our virtual ward, he says. Our biggest concern is our health service being overwhelmed with COVID positive patients, and particularly at our busiest time of the year. So this year we are not only welcoming significant numbers of travellers from other parts of Australia, but for the first time in nearly 2 years, international visitors as well. So we need to abide by the rules. Look, if you're out and about, probably a good idea to wear a mask. It's not mandatory at this point in time, but just be COVID safe. Keep in mind the 1.5 metres away from each other. Also, if you're feeling flu-type systems, then go and get tested. That's what it's all about. And we are in this together. So with that, Trendy Trev, going to sign off your mob. Thank you very much for your company. Look, stay black, stay deadly, stay strong. And we'll be yarning tomorrow with National Talkback, 1-800-422-416. 24/7, you can text a brother, 045-714-0550. Don't forget our Facebook page as well, BBM 987 FM. All right, your mob, too deadly. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.